If also you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are ye. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, Amen. One of the greatest impediments to becoming holy and one of the greatest causes of spiritual tepidity or lukewarmness is the horror of suffering. The horror of suffering is the reaction of our lower nature, most principally in our body, which shrinks from suffering or from pain. And many souls who halt along the way to perfection do so because they do not dominate their dread of suffering. Only those who have determined to combat this tendency with an unswerving energy will arrive at the height of sanctity. This, says Saint Teresa, is an absolute indispensable condition for reaching perfection. Those who do not have the spirit for this can renounce sanctity because they will never reach it. Saint John of the Cross gives the love of suffering an exceptional importance in the process of our sanctification, both to make amends for sin and for the sanctification of the soul. The way to unite ourselves to Christ is to be transformed in Him. And this was traced for us by Christ Himself, who said, "If anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him renounce himself and take up his cross and follow me." There is no other way. It is necessary to embrace suffering. It is necessary to conquer the horror of suffering. Saint John of the Cross says, "If any time, my brother, anyone should persuade you, be he a prelate or not, of a doctrine that is wider and more pleasant, do not believe him. And do not accept the doctrine, even if he were to confirm it with miracles, but rather penance and more penance and detachment from all things. And never, if you wish to possess Christ, seek him without the cross. If it be well considered, sorrow and suffering ought to be more attractive to the Christian than pleasure is to the pagan. The suffering passes, but the one who has suffered well will never pass. It leaves its mark for all eternity upon the soul because it purifies it. There is nothing that more readily detaches us from the created things than the pains of suffering. Through the crystal of our tears, the atmosphere of this world appears dark and gloomy. The soul raises its eyes to heaven, it sighs for the eternal fatherland, and it learns to disdain the things of this world. So few saints, because so few desire to suffer. Yet how many of us, when overcoming some sin, prefer to rest in our spiritual life rather than press on and conquer the next sin? Most people tend to rally in the fact that they have conquered a particular sin, and they tend to rest for a while. Do you, when you get the inclination of grace, consider the suffering which the good will cause, or do you embrace the cross? Sometimes people shrink from great suffering. But so tepid is the soul due to sin that even the slightest, most insignificant suffering or loss of some virtually non-existent pleasure will cause even the well-intentioned soul to flee the suffering and embrace the pleasure of complacency and spiritual lukewarmness. You are not a saint because you are not willing to suffer. Do you shrink from sickness, persecution, calamity, and humiliation? Do you ignore your duties? Do you procrastinate? Do you lie rather than suffer the truth? Do you ignore your prayer life because it is arduous and therefore causes pain to the soul? Or do you pray only when you get the pleasure from it? We get pleasure from doing our own will, and we suffer when we do not get to do our own will. How much do you embrace those things which are not according to your will? We may say that the following degrees are the principal degrees manifested by a soul in its progress towards a thirst for suffering, and it is the means by which you overcome this horror of suffering. The first is the acceptance of one's duties according to one's state in life. We must never omit any of our duties because of our suffering or difficulty. This is only the initial grade or degree, and it is absolutely necessary for all. One who neglects a serious obligation without any reason other than the inconvenience or slight difficulty involved commits a serious sin. But even in the matter of a light obligation, it is necessary to perform our duties in spite of our natural repugnance for it. Some persons neglect the duties of their state in life and nevertheless ask permission of their confessors to practice certain penances and mortification of their own choosing. This is a sign again that they want to do it according to their own will. The exact fulfillment of our duties and obligations according to our state in life is absolutely indispensable for the crucifixion of self. The next degree is resignation to crosses, and this encompasses the embracing of passive mortifications. These are the ones in which God chooses according to our circumstances to send to us. St. John of the Cross speaks of this to a religious in his Cautions, where he says, "The first caution is that you should understand that you have to come to the convent only in order that others may polish and exercise you. Thus, it is fitting that you should think that all are in the convent to test you as they truly are, that some have to polish you by words, others by works, others by thoughts against you. Then all these things you must be subject to them as the statue is to the artist who sculpts it and the painting to the painter. If you do not observe this, you will never know how to conquer your own sensuality or sentimentality, nor will you know how to conduct yourself well in the religious in the convent, nor will you ever attain holy peace, nor will you ever free yourself from your many evils and defects." While this is spoken to nuns, it may also be spoken to us, that is, in the life of the family, in the life of the parish, or in the life at work. And the very people there are not the excuse for your sin, but the means by which you are sanctified. Of course, there is the story which is mentioned. A nun wrote to St. John of the Cross and said, "I could become a very holy nun if it wasn't for the rest of the nuns in the convent." Well, the fact of the matter is, as St. John of the Cross says, as we just read, no, it's precisely by these nuns that one is purified and the imperfections are chiseled away from our soul. Therefore, in like manner, if we are to advance in holiness, we must embrace the passive mortifications which God senses and embrace those even if they come from those most close to us. The next degree is by voluntary mortification, and this is when one takes on one's own active mortification. Normally, one should talk to their spiritual director or a confessor before engaging in too many of these, although some of them we can do on our own, such as abstaining from foods that we like, or from fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays, and things of this sort. And by fasting, I mean following the church's rules of fasting. If we're going to do more than that, we should consult a confessor. The next level is preferring suffering to pleasure. How contrary this may seem to our weak nature, but the saints succeeded in reaching these heights. A moment arrived in which they felt an instinctive horror for anything that would satisfy their tastes and comfort. When everything went badly with them and when the whole world persecuted and calumniated them, they rejoiced and gave thanks to God. If others applauded or praised them, they trembled as if God had permitted those things as a punishment for their sins. St. John of the Cross says that to endeavor always to incline oneself not to that which is easier, but to that which is more difficult, not to that which is tasty, but to that which is more bitter, not to that which is more pleasing, but to that which is less pleasing, not to that which gives rest, but to that which demands effort, and not to that which is in consolation, but to that which is a source of sorrow, not to that which is more, but to that which is less, not to the lofty and precious, but to the lowly and despicable, not to that which is to be something, but to that which is to be nothing, not to be seeking the best and temporal things, but the worst, and to desire to enter into all nakedness and emptiness and in poverty through Christ and whatever there is in the world. It is this which we know is the way to perfection. The next degree is to offer oneself as a victim. To be called a victim is easy, and it pleases self-love. But truly, to be a victim demands a purity, a detachment from creatures, and a heroic abandonment to all kinds of suffering, to humiliation, to ineffable obscurity, that I would consider it either foolish or miraculous if one who is at the beginning of the spiritual life should attempt to do that which the Divine Master does not go to accept by degrees. In other words, before one offers oneself as a victim soul, and before we sit around entertaining ourselves as being a victim soul because everyone makes our life so difficult, we ought to first consult our spiritual director to see if there is not some other imperfection should be rooted out before we embrace this. This is something which is normally done either because God decides to make someone a victim soul, In which case, it really should be the place of the spiritual director to judge that it is in fact comes from God and not from our own imperfections, or it is something which is embraced only in latter stages of perfection, and there should be able to be done only under the direction of a spiritual director. In the end, people are more in love with the idea of willing to suffer than the actual suffering. People are more in love with the idea of being a saint than the actual suffering necessary to become one. If you are not a saint, then perhaps it is a case in which you live more in your head than in reality. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.